Hi, this is Kent Adams, co-host of Business Talks. I'd like to introduce you to a couple of friends, Lisa and Alan Gwaltney of Window World. I've known Lisa and Alan for a number of years and know them to be honest and caring folks. They take pride in their windows, sliding doors, and blinds. So when it comes to your home, call them direct at 509-456-5880. That's Window World of Spokane and Coeur d'Alene. And if you tell them Kent sent me, they'll give you 5% off a five-window installation. Call them today at 456-5880.
You are very welcome to Film and Art Speak, where host Tyler Wilson takes us on a celebration of Spokane area arts and entertainment with an emphasis on cinema. Catch up on theatrical releases, exclusive local showings, streaming recommendations, and various entertainment happenings around the inland Northwest. Here's your host, Tyler Wilson.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today we've got a very special guest in here. We have Tim Campbell. He's the artistic director of Northwest Opera. How's it going?
It is going very well, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for coming in on, well, it's a podcast. I shouldn't say it's like raining hard out, but it is. It's a pain to get down here sometimes, so I appreciate it. But yeah, I wanted to talk to you about your organization, but also specifically you have a show coming up. It's called Downtownton Abbey Dreadfuls.
Correct.
Which is a great title. But it's kind of, and it's like a Halloween-themed opera, which is really cool. So we'll talk about that in a little bit, but maybe you can start with sharing about, you know, what this organization is and who comprises it.
Okay, Northwest Opera came out of the need for local singers to have some sort of platform to perform on. People that spend money for voice lessons and yet really have no outlet. And unfortunately, Spokane Opera, which used to be fairly vibrant here in Spokane, went the way of the dinosaur. Not quite sure what happened with it, but it has gone away. So we decided to step in and fill a void. Began with myself and another voice teacher over at Holy Names Music Center, okay. Nancy Klingman. Together we both came up with this concept to make an opera company for local folks.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just opera, but it does. It seems like these arts organizations of recent years, we've had trouble keeping the funding going, and maybe we can touch on that a little bit. I mean, how if you just two individuals who started up again, how do you sustain that? How do you grow to get people involved? I guess.
Okay. Well, as far as really helping it to grow, the idea behind the actual people. Knowing that opera itself is so expensive. You have massive sets, costumes, orchestra, all of that. We do it very minimal, very minimal sets, costuming, just piano.
Okay.
At this point, we're hoping someday, yeah, we'll have an orchestra and we'll have those great sets and costumes and all that. But for right now, it's very low key.
Bring it back to the voice kind of thing.
It does,
yeah.
Most definitely. I spent a lot of time early on in my career touring with opera companies. For a while I was with a group called Noise, based in Seattle, Northwest Operas in Schools, etc. And we would tour opera into the grade schools, middle schools and high schools over in the Seattle area, all the way up to, I think, Marysville and farther south in Tacoma, I think Olympia. Okay. And did that sort of thing. And we would take a basic opera and split it down into about 30 minutes worth of a show. Oh. So you really cut out a lot, but tried to give the really best parts. Mm-hmm. I also toured with Memphis Opera for a while, and it was the same sort of deal. We would go out and do one main production, but a lot of school shows as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm used to that concept.
Is that hard to get people? I mean, are younger individuals, are we talking like elementary school, like high school? What kind of age levels do you?
We are talking anywhere from kindergarten all the way up to a senior in high school.
And nowadays, is there a familiarity to this genre, or is it harder to kind of get people to to understand what it is and what you do?
Well, I would say, especially with kids, mm-hmm. they're very open. They are your best audience that you'll ever get. They're very honest. They're not afraid to let you know when something's wrong or something's great. So that's good. High school, they were a little harder mm-hmm. because they, you know, more sophisticated. Oh, yes, we know this. But it was just exposing them because you don't get much exposure to opera these days.
It's tough. I mean, I think that I know this is terrible, but it seems like the most that we hear about it sometimes is that you'll get a really talented singer on like America's Got Talent, and they're great, and it kind mm-hmm. of gives you that picture into something. But then, you know, to see it on a local level, it seems it's harder. It's harder to kind of come across those voices and people. But it, what do you think the challenge is for that? I mean, is it your mission to kind of, as long as we get them in the door, we can kind of show them something different or something that they don't expect in terms of what opera is? Or is there a misconception still?
Well, with our group, and I have to say, we're not your typical, we call you not your mother's opera,
okay.
for sure. We try to do it. We do it with a twist and a half.
Okay.
Part of the deal that comes with that are that the people that do audition for my group, it's rare that I turn some away. Mm-hmm. I try to give everybody their 5 minutes of fame on stage okay. somehow. So a lot of our shows are built around, I would say, everybody's ability. And I try to show them off to the best of their own personal abilities. I would say real professional opera singers, we don't have a lot of those in our company. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of very good entertainers. I will say that people that want to and try very hard. And so we're trying to make it more accessible to the public. We don't do it in foreign languages. Okay. If we can help it, we will every once in a while we'll do just a little bit to give you a glimpse of what real opera is all about. But for the most part, we will take it and make it much more accessible to the average Joe on the street. So, and with familiar
yeah.
melodies, nothing, something way out there that I've never heard that before.
Is that the big barrier still? Is this the language? Is that kind of the big thing
for
people?
It is a major one. It really is.
I could see, like, it sounds like what you're saying is that you're really kind of looking for individuals that maybe, you know, good singers, I'm sure.
Yes.
But just some, you know, stage presence, and they're getting their, like you said, giving them their 5 minutes. It's kind of an interesting way of going about it. Do you think that there's opportunity to grow opera back to that place of where it's the foreign language where people are dressing up and going? I mean, is there a demand out there for that? Is it just hard to fund it?
There is a demand, but I think it is shrinking back into history more than really propelling itself forward. Mm-hmm. In this day and age where, you know, it's instant gratification.
Sure.
Everything that you can do online, computer, and all that, as opposed to really having some of the older access, like the entertainment used to be. You know, you never used to have television,
sure.
radio, and all that. If you wanted live entertainment, you went to the theater. And that's really where opera came about, over in Europe particularly, was that's what everybody went to. And they knew all the stories. They knew all the songs. They could sing along with you mm-hmm. if they wanted to. And nowadays, you know, that's farther off because, yeah, we have so much access.
Yeah, there's just too many things. And, yeah, the length, I think, is one of those things where people, I mean, gosh, we are all guilty of it. I mean, I pride myself on not being that person that is engaging in technology when I'm consuming something, but it's so easy to kind of just trail away and not focus on something for a little bit. It sounds like when you went into the schools, it was kind of about like making it concise and kind of bringing that, like the big parts and things like that. Is that kind of
the
idea?
It really was just giving them the basics of what the opera is, and it was amazing. I mean, the kids loved it. And so we try to, I would say, emulate a lot of what that was now. With this group, we try to make it fairly fast-paced. You're not going to have a lot of time to fall asleep, and you may even go, what was that? Hold on, wait. Because we try to boom, 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 just hit you over the head with what we're doing, and then run.
Yeah.
Hit and run, I would call it.
Well, it kind of seems like I'm glad you kind of acknowledge that, because I think sometimes some of the misconception of L'Opera is that it seems like in popular media anyway, it's like, I don't know, for some reason I just see like Homer Simpson being forced to go and he's sleeping and Marge is loving it. But, I mean, is that still kind of the...
it can be. I mean, it truly can be. That's how I feel about going to piano recitals. I mean, they're great, but want to put me to sleep? That'll do it. Yeah.
And it's not that it's like not good. It's just it's so relaxing in
it
some
is.
Parts, right? So
that's
I mean,
exactly
something that's beautiful or just kind of so warm on your ears. I can imagine just sometimes, you know, there's a reason classical music is the thing that helps you go to sleep. Sometimes.
Well, you know, they've recently had in the news, like this morning and yesterday, they were covering where a vineyard has now started playing Mozart to the grapes, and that the grapes are now growing bigger and sweeter and juicier. So
interesting.
Classical music.
Well, it makes the grapes grow. Awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the show and what that's all about. Thanks
Good.
For having us.
Listening to SpokaneTalksOnline.com, Spokane and North Idaho's business and community talk station.
In study after study, money is often cited as one of the top conflict points in a marriage. Finances can be an emotional topic for couples, especially when money is tight. So it pays to get in the habit of discussing it on a regular basis, even if you keep separate finances. At stcumoney.org, find 6 tips for making the conversation easier.
A special thank you to our friends at Tom Sawyer Country Coffee, the official coffee supplier here at Spokane Talks Online.
What? You haven't been to the library lately? Stop in today and see that the library is more than books. Spokane County Library District facilities feature on-site technology, including Wi-Fi, computers, and printers, as well as free use of meeting rooms. The Library District offers events and programs for all ages, from story times to career development and employer classes to social security workshops. Our staff is well-trained and happy to help. Find out more about your library at scld.org.
Snoring can disrupt marriages and cause serious health problems. Call Sleep Better Northwest first, the experts in dental sleep medicine. Their medically approved, custom-fit oral appliances will have both you and your partner sleeping better and being more productive throughout your day. Don't wait. Snoring and sleep apnea can signal potential strokes or heart attacks. For more information, visit needbettersleepnow.com and download our health guide today. Sleep Better Northwest, the experts in dental sleep medicine.
Back. I'm sitting today with Tim Campbell. He's the artistic director of Northwest Opera, and we're talking about opera in general, but you also have a brand new Halloween themed show coming up here called Downtownton Abbey Dreadfuls, which is taking place here October 28th, 29th, and 30th. We'll talk about that in a minute. I did want to ask you one other question about how you got started yourself into opera.
Boy, the way I got started into opera in high school, I loved musicals, loved doing that. However, most musicals were all for baritones.
Okay.
And as you can hear from my voice, I'm a tenor. And so once I got to college and started studying voice, they were going, well, you've got the best thing. Opera, all the great roles are for tenors. You get the girl, all
Perfect,
that sort
yeah.
of thing. I was like, yeah, okay, let's go for it. Let's do it.
Yeah. So from there, I mean... I mean, you're right. There's not a lot of those roles for people. So then you just, it's kind of, has it been something that you've just always done, or you've taken breaks, or?
It is something that I have pursued for quite a while. I did my bachelor's in music, vocal performance, at the University of Montana, which a lot could go, Montana, a lot.
I'm a U of I grad, so we can't say much the same, right?
I was lucky. We had an extremely intelligent musical faculty there. Before I got there, one of the sopranos from Little Missoula had made it to the Metropolitan Opera.
Wow.
And was a big star, Judith Blaken, in the 70s.
Okay.
Like, she was on Johnny Carson a bit, and he loved her.
Oh, awesome.
And in my class itself, when I went to school there, the guy has a voice. And you will sort of know that from his speaking,
mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't know that he's a singer, and that is J.K. Simmons.
Okay.
Who just won the Academy Award last year for Whiplash.
Wow.
His dad was the chairman of that music department.
Awesome.
So he learned a lot of that from his dad, what you saw on the screen.
Oh, for sure.
But Kim, wonderful voice. And that's how I know him, is Kim Simmons, not J.K.
Oh, man. He's great in everything, but he's especially
wonderful.
Good in the movie he won his Oscar for.
Fabulous
Whiplash.
Voice. And I did a couple operas with him.
Oh, wow.
Really good.
That's really cool. That's awesome. Is it something that you, as you age, is it harder to keep your vocal? Keep training? I mean, you're directing now more, but I mean, is it hard to kind of keep that part going?
Well, I think as long as you keep your voice going, keep it in shape, you should easily be able to sing up until about 80 at least, really.
What if you're 32 and you're a terrible singer, always have been? Is there hope for
this person?
There's always
hope.
Can't carry a tune. I don't think that's ever going to happen. No, probably not. Probably, I'm not going to audition for anything. But, so let's talk about this this new show. It's Downtownton Abbey Dreadfuls, which I'm saying it right, but it's obviously a play on the downtown, I'm already doing
downtown
it, right?
Downtown Abbey.
Yeah, Downtown Abbey.
Yeah, right. Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey.
The show itself came about because of the time frame of when we could use the children's theater. This is a new collaboration that we're doing this fall, and we're sticking our season in between theirs, where they have a hole. And knowing that we had Halloween, wanted to do something along those lines. And I've always had a concept for quite a while of doing some maybe more or less scenes from really B-rated monster movies.
Okay, now you're speaking my language.
And so the first half of the show was that.
Okay.
It's sort of like going back to the Saturday afternoon, really bad black and white movie on TV with like an Elvira-type character. Not as sexy. We're not going that way. More Vampira, I would say. But we're going to cover a couple different things in that whole set, a little bit of zombie, voodoo, witches in that, and sort of taken songs from operas. But one that I've always wanted to do was The Brain That Wouldn't Die.
Uh-huh.
It's such a cheesy movie.
Oh, yeah.
About a mad scientist who has this beautiful girlfriend, and they're in a car wreck, and everything on her is destroyed except for her head, which he runs with her head to his laboratory and then keeps it alive while he tries to find a body.
I love that. I love that movie. And I also love how you talk about zombies and you mentioned the voodoo part, because that's not, people don't know that that's where all that stuff kind of started.
Right.
In the older movies. So that's really cool.
And we're even going to tip our hat to Frankenstein and the Bride of Frankenstein, too. And that'll be the first half, and that'll go by really quickly.
I bet.
And then the second half is going to be a parody of the final season of Downton Abbey.
Okay.
And with our twist on it, we've thrown some opera into that as well.
Okay, interesting.
So, 3-4 years ago, we did a Downton Abbey segment. I think it was after its second season.
Okay.
And had a blast with it. It really was fun. And so, yeah, we decided, well, now that it's over, we should do one more.
It's one of those really, I mean, it's a fascinating property in that it was so popular when it was on PBS and all that. And it was so popular, and yet it felt like something that was classical, you know.
True.
What I mean? Not something that is the typical popular thing now. So that's what I like about that in particular, and having kind of these ideas. And now, is the parody aspect of this still convey the Halloween stuff, or is it more straight of a Downton Abbey?
It's more straight Downton Abbey.
Okay.
There's a little bit that we have played with, as far as you could say, throw the Halloween theme into it. I had, when I came up with this idea, I asked people that were continuing members of the organization, you know, singers, what character would you like to play and why? And I got all sorts of responses from folks. But there were two really cool that I really liked a lot. People that gave characters that they would like to do that you normally wouldn't think of. Mm-hmm. And one was, I would like to play the ghost of Sybil, who died off, you know, like right. second, third season. And I was like, oh, yeah, I like that idea. Let's bring Sybil back, you know.
It fits the first half of the show, so perfect. That makes sense.
And, yeah, that sort of throws in the Halloween theme.
Very cool. And so it's at the Children's Theater. Is this something that is family-friendly, or is it more of a different kind of vibe?
It is family-friendly. Okay. We're not going to try to do anything too racy at the Children's Theater. We want to keep with their standards.
Yeah, as much as you can about a brain that's running loose.
Nothing is too gory or anything good. Like that way. So
well, yeah, and you said you kind of keep it minimal anyway. It's about the voices and, mm-hmm. and things like that. So what is that like? So you're doing, you know, you're trying to parody Downton Abbey. What's the process like of inserting the songs and the music then? And do you just try to find similar themes for what's going on, or how does that work for you?
I do. When I was going through especially the Downton portion, I wanted it to be a little more classically oriented than some of our past productions that we've done. So I've borrowed a lot from operetta.
Okay.
That I think really works, and it gives sort of a British theme and feel to the whole thing.
Okay. So that kind of, once you kind of had a frame of reference, it started to kind of fitting it together
did.
A little bit.
Things could happen. And then as the situations, we also came up with the different situations for the characters, then we could start going, oh, yeah, well, this song might fit in here and do this.
Yeah. And for the monster stuff, I mean, you obviously, when you were kind of crafting the little scenes, you had things in mind that would...
Once again, yeah, know what dealt with, you know, the occult or
sure.
anything spooky, gloomy, that sort of stuff.
And that's other stuff. I mean, that's a lot of the stuff that people maybe aren't so familiar with in terms of opera. They kind of are thinking of the normal, just the things that they always see in pop culture.
Right. The habaneras and all that.
Sure.
Or Omi Ababino Caro that you hear on America's Got Talent.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah. Right. I know it. That's what I'm saying. That's unfortunately where we tend to hear this stuff.
Yeah.
So then you're also involved with the Children's Theater a little bit, and you have another show in November with them, and maybe you can just kind of touch on that a little bit.
I do, yeah. My headache has just started, I have to say. I'm doing two shows at once right now.
Okay.
We just cast Scrooge.
Okay.
And had our first read-through last night, and I will be directing that for Children's Theater.
So that's with kids doing...
So it's with kids Scrooge and adults
okay.
doing it. And it is the best adaptation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. It has music by Leslie Bricusse, and Anthony Newley, I have to throw him in there as well, who did things like Stop the World, I Want to Get Off, Roar the Grease Paint, Smell of the Crowd, more popular, the theme to Goldfinger
okay, yeah.
was the guy. Also, the Candyman,
awesome.
Willy Wonka. So, I mean, the music in the show really is fun. It's the sort of thing, I promise, you're going to leave it humming. The songs are so great, and they just stick in your head. You go out very cheery after seeing the show.
Scrooge is an interesting property because it can be done in so many different ways, and we've seen a lot of different ways, but that mm-hmm. sounds different than other versions I've seen, and to have kids and adults involved in it sounds good. When is that happening?
This goes up. This will open the Friday after Thanksgiving,
okay.
the 25th of November.
Perfect for the holidays.
And will run for 4 weekends.
Awesome.
Through the 18th of December.
That's perfect for Christmas. I mean,
oh, yeah.
That's good stuff. Well, that's good. I want to make sure people know that Downton Abbey Dreadfuls is October 28th, 29th at 7:30 p.m. It's at 2 p.m. October 30th, and that's at the Spokane Children's Theater. That's 2727 North Medelia in Spokane. So $12 at the door. People can just show up.
$12 at the door. Or if you know a cast member, you can buy tickets from the cast.
Awesome. Very good. Well, that's a very cool thing. Hope people check that out. It sounds like a fun marriage of different types of media, but throwing that opera in. So good start for people to jump in if they're not familiar with stuff.
It will be.
You can go and find out more about the show and other things with Northwest Opera just at northwestopera.org. Tim, thanks so much for stopping in. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tyler.
That's our show. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Film and Art Speak is produced in Spokane, Washington by SpokaneTalksOnline.com, which is solely responsible for its content. Ask a question, recommend a guest, and hear this program again online anytime at SpokaneTalksOnline.com. Have an entertaining day.
Washington is the most trade-dependent state in the country, but our regulatory process for trade and infrastructure investments has sadly become longer and more uncertain, jeopardizing our ability to lead the way on trade. Keep Washington Competitive, a business and labor coalition, believes that by fostering a regulatory environment that provides certainty and encourages investment, we will ensure our state is positive to thrive. It is paramount that our lawmakers and regulators work together with business and labor to sustain our state's vital trade industries for future generations of Washingtonians. Learn more at keepwashingtoncompetitive.com.